Well, good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend to everyone. So glad to see all of you here this weekend. What a blessing to be here and be ready to worship the Lord, and as you've already been doing, even through that patriotic hymn. Sounded good. Couple announcements as we begin here. If you look to the back of your bulletin, you'll just notice a reminder about Ice Cream Social that's coming up next Sunday here, July 9th, 6 p.m. We'll have an evening of music and ice cream on the church lawn. The Hefner family's coming. What a great opportunity to invite someone new. Something like this can just be a real convenient way of inviting a friend to church, maybe a friend that doesn't go to church. Just a real opportunity to invite someone new. And maybe that's just a way to open the door for them to start coming to church and making church a part of their life. And so I encourage you to do that. The Hefner Band will be here. That's a gospel bluegrass band. And they are extremely good. I think you'll really enjoy the program that they put on. And I think you'll really enjoy that time. If not, you'll certainly enjoy the ice cream. So I hope that you come and be a part of that. Starts at 6 p.m. I think last time we just set up out here on the lawn. I'm sure probably we'll do the same thing just outside. So bring your lawn chair, and should be a good evening here at Moscow. Also, just a reminder that Charles is so great about getting the information on our bulletin at the beginning of each month, and he kind of goes over what the numbers are for us for the previous month, so just take note of that, of what our offering is. We just praise the Lord for the offering here. We continue to support the church and the ministry of the church, but it is helpful to know what those numbers are and to keep an eye on them as we move through the year. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share as we open here? Anything else? I have in the inside of your bulletin a little 4th of July prayer. There's a 4th of July word puzzle, too. You can work on that later. Maybe after the service, right? Some of the kids might be working on it now, but that's okay. But there is a beautiful little 4th of July prayer here, and I'm going to share this prayer. Won't you bow your heads with me as I share this prayer? It says, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy daily. May we never take for granted the liberty that we have been given. May we remain humble and conscious of the blessings that we enjoy because of the sacrifice made by countless men and women. We thank you for the abundance we enjoy. May we be sensitive to those around us who are in need. And may our hearts be quick to help when we have the means to do so. We pray for our leaders, for those placed in authority over us. Father, we ask that you guide every decision they make. May they lead us with wisdom and humility and grace. Father, bless our nation with your peace. May your love flow through each one of us, and may we never forget to give you thanks always. May you receive glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray these things together. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. Find this in the inside of your bulletins. This coming from portions of Psalms chapter 33. It says, God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear Him. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Let us turn in our hymnals to page 571, My Country, 'Tis of Thee. Gather up our prayer requests and our praises. Well, I think one big praise that we have this morning is just a praise that we are in a free nation here where we can come and worship the Lord without fear of imprisonment, persecution. Aren't we blessed? We just praise the Lord for God blessing us with America. And just sounds so great to hear you guys singing these patriotic songs this morning. Just reminds us how blessed we truly are. Okay, on our prayer list, if you would continue to keep Kenny Woods in your prayers. He's doing some better, although leg is still swelled. But he is slowly healing, and we know that's the hand of the Lord upon you, Kenny. And we just praise the Lord for all the answered prayers that that Kenny is receiving, and we just continue to just thank the Lord that his healing is going well.
Thank you all, and God's got
it. Yes, amen. God's got this. That's a great bumper sticker, Kenny. God's got this. And so you're right. He does have this, and he's certainly healing you up. We just appreciate those answered prayers. Also, thank you for the prayers for my dad, Dana. He is healing up from his surgery. Things went well. Although this morning I got a phone call and said the squad was over at my mom and dad's house. I did hear, though, that things are okay. He was just having some chest pains, some numbness in his arms. But the doctor seemed to think that that was normal for the procedure that he had. And so he's still there. He's very tired. It's a slow recovery, but he's doing well. And that's answered prayers as well. The good news is that his heart is in rhythm. Yeah, praise God for that. So that's answered prayers. Now our prayer is that it just stays in rhythm and that it doesn't go back to beating in AFib or something like that. So appreciate all the prayers, I know he wanted me to share with you, he appreciated all the prayers, all the calls and food and visits before surgery and after surgery. I know that has meant a lot to him. So we truly appreciate all that that you did for him during this, especially the prayers, and we know that they're being answered as well. If you would put Ashley Showalter on your prayer list. Ashley just shared with me a little bit ago that she's going for some new treatments and some medicines are changing. So if you would just lift Ashley up in prayer. She's here. She's back there with Titus. She's keeping Titus straight back there. That's what. But she's going for these procedures, and she just asked for your prayers that this new medicine will help her, and that she won't have any bad side effects from it. So that's our prayer for you, Ashley, and we will be praying for you this coming week for that. If you would you lift the Russ Meisel family up? And Don Russ Meisel is here. He's in the back here. He lost his father this past week, Bobby Russ Meisel. And if you would just lift his family up, Don up in prayer for loss of his father. He gave me a neat little article about his father, and I look forward to reading that, Don, and hearing more about your dad. And so, Don, our prayers are with you and with all of your family for loss of Bobby. Other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time, Pauline?
Ricky
Scholl.
Ricky Scholl.
He had an
emergency surgery at UVA last night.
Okay. Also, Ms. Smith, we need to... Jenny...
She has surgery next Monday.
Right. Virginia or Jenny Smith, if you would continue to lift her up in prayer. She is going to have a procedure on her heart on July 10th. And so if you would just be in prayer for her. That's a neighbor of Pauline's, a longtime neighbor of Pauline's. And so if you would just lift Virginia Smith up in prayer. Other prayer requests or praises? Janet.
I have a joy. I just think it's a joy to always have Daryl Sanger.
Yes. Amen. We're so blessed by our musicians. And Gerald, you know, you're not a visitor anymore, though. You were visiting for a while, but now you're just a regular. We're glad to have you, Gerald. We certainly appreciate you being here and leading us with your music this morning. Yes.
Things fell this week.
Yes.
We got away with steps, and we got a ramp.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Pauline is sharing, if you didn't hear that, Vance fell this past week. But praise God, his angels were watching over him, and he didn't break any bones. And praise the Lord, he just got a little bump and bruise. So we just thank the Lord for that. Yeah. Anyone else would like to share? Any praises? With that, let us call on our ushers now to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, I do have a praise this morning. And it's a praise that Rodney Showalter and his wife Sherry are here this morning and their family. And we welcome them here. If you don't know Rodney, that's Randy Showalter's brother. So you know him now. And you say hello to him and we welcome you there. What a praise that is. We're glad to have him. Let's share together the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You, Lord, with our offering, Lord. We seek to praise You with that. Lord, we seek to bless You with those tithes and offerings that we give to You here this morning. Lord, we seek to bless You in Your name. We seek to bless Your Son, Jesus. We thank You for Him, for the sacrifice that He made for us upon Calvary. He was willing to take our place, Lord, there. And Lord, He bore our sin so that we might bear His righteousness. Lord, we thank You for Him and we praise His holy name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we gather here to worship today. It's in the name of Jesus we offer all our praise to You. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list. Lord, we lift up each name to You. Lord, be with those that, Lord, need Your healing hand. We continue to witness and testify to the healing that You're doing within the lives of those here and associated with this church. And Lord, we just praise You, knowing that our prayers are answered, that You faithfully hear the prayers of the righteous. And Lord, we seek Your help for those in our midst. Lord, we offer up those unmentioned prayers this morning. I know, Lord, there are those that are seeking You right now and seeking Your help. And Lord, we just pray for those persons, Lord, that Your healing and Your touch of love would go out into their lives as well. Lord, we just praise You for all things, especially for this 4th of July weekend. Lord, for this blessed nation that we're in. Lord, we know it needs Your continued guidance and Your blessing for it to exist and for it to thrive. And Lord, that's what we pray right now. We seek revival within our nation. Lord, we humbly come before You upon our knees right now, Lord, seeking You and just seeking Your revival, Your spiritual revival within our land. Lord, we need Your guidance and we need Your direction. Lord, we feel as at times in this nation as if we have lost our way. Lord, that we are a ship that is adrift without a sail. And Lord, we know it's because that many have forsaken You, have turned back to their old ways, Lord, turned to their sinful ways. They have forsaken Your law and Your word. But Lord, we seek now as Your church a spiritual revival upon this land. We pray for revival upon our politicians, Lord. We pray for revival upon those leaders in the states, Lord, local leaders. Father, we seek revival within our land. A spiritual awakening, Lord, is what we need. And Lord, we pray for that earnestly right now as Your church. Lord, thank You again for this, just the blessings that we have. Lord, again, we just praise You so much for all these things. Father, we pray these things in Your blessed Son, Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. Our youth Sunday school can be dismissed. All those that would like to participate can just follow the crowd. You'll know which way to go. And if you are here with me, I want you to turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at three biblical duties of Christian citizenship. We are citizens, aren't we? We're citizens and we are Christian, and so there are some responsibilities. There are responsibilities and duties that we have as Christians, and there are responsibilities and duties that we have as Christian citizens of America. And so we're going to look at what I think are three biblical duties. So turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Boy, some people I think are surprised to find this chapter in the Bible. I think that some people don't realize, maybe are unaware, that God calls on us to submit to government and to support government. And at times, I think even Christians are surprised that God recognizes the authority of the government. In fact, He puts it in place. Isn't that something? And so we are to recognize God's authority even through government. And that's what it says here. Don't take my word for it. Just listen to what God says here in Romans chapter 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Boy, that's pretty plain and clear, isn't it? Doesn't take a whole lot to explain that. "Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinances of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." Verse 5. "Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor." Boy, it's quite a portion of Scripture, isn't it? When you see how God is talking to us directly about governing authorities and powers. We're not supposed to rebel against the government. In fact, we're supposed to live a way that the governing authorities would praise even the Christians for how well they handle themselves. We're to be a model citizen, aren't we? Really, the government should say, "Wow, if I just had more citizens just like those Christians. They're good, upright, outstanding people. They are model citizens. They live and model a life that we all should want to live." And I think that's the idea here, that that we are to live in a way that literally even the government itself should look at us and say, "Wow, that's exactly what a model citizen should look like." So what are the duties of the Christian? How should we live? Well, it lays it out here. You know, believe it or not, as Christians, we have something called dual citizenship. We are a citizen right here in America, aren't we? And that's our first citizenship. We are a citizen of America. And there are certain duties that go along with being an American, certain responsibilities that go along with being a good American. But that's only one part of our citizenship. The other part, the more important part, is our Christian citizenship. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's your dual citizenship status. You're a citizen of God's kingdom. Now, that has supreme, I think, authority in our life. We're supposed to live for God first. And I would say that if you're living to be a good citizen of God's kingdom, you're going to have no trouble with being a citizen in America. Isn't that wonderful? If you're being a good citizen of the kingdom of God, if you're living your life to please God, then you will be a good citizen of America as well. The Bible teaches us that in these two kingdoms, that we are to be obedient, and that God created both of these kingdoms. Really, it says here that no kingdom has ever existed or will ever exist that hasn't been created by God Himself. That's what the first verse there. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so God is in control, isn't He? God is in control of the nations, of the world. The affairs of man are really under the authority of God. No nation has ever prospered without God blessing it. This nation only prospers because God is blessing it. If we were a nation that cursed God, God will curse us. And we have been blessed, though, because of we're founded on these godly principles. You can look at the history of our nation and see that we are founded on good, godly Christian morals and principles. And God has blessed us as such. God is in control. Nations rise and they fall by His command, don't they? Nations prosper or are punished by His decree. Nations birth or die under His blessing or His curse. The government really is just an extension of His rule upon the world. Now, the founding fathers of America understood that if America was going to prosper as a nation, if it was going to thrive as a society, that we ultimately needed God's blessing. That no nation can or has ever prospered except by the blessing of God. And so the founding fathers knew this, and you find their patronage to God recorded in the pages of our nation's history. You know, at the birthplace of America, there in Philadelphia, they argued. They were in that Pennsylvania State House, and they argued amongst themselves about the Constitution of America, what it would look like. And there was great debate there. They intensely debated the laws and the purpose of the government system that would eventually be America. And they seemed to be getting nowhere, making little progress, just arguing back and forth among themselves. And in that little place now known as Independence Hall, all seemed in vain. And that was until one of the least religious people in the room, Ben Franklin, the least religious. I'm going to read a statement, and you'll just be surprised how the least religious seems more religious than most today. But all seemed in vain until this Ben Franklin stood up and said these words, and these are recorded for us. I'm going to read it as if Ben Franklin said it, as it's recorded here, from 236 years later. And Ben Franklin rose up after all this arguing and confusion, and he says this, "Mr. President, the small progress we have made after 4 or 5 weeks close attendance and continual reasoning with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as a's, is methinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding." We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom, since we have been running about in search of it. We have gone back to the ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which have been formed with the seed of their own disillusion, now no longer exists. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly groping, as it were, in the dark to find a political truth and scarce able to distinguish it, when to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hereunto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understanding? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence to our favor. To that kind of providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter this unfortunate instance despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, or conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that we henceforth prayers imploring the insistence of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Isn't that amazing? That was a turning point. And they're coming together. After that moment, it seems like that they really put their minds together and then brought forth the document we know as the Constitution. Isn't that amazing? Ben Franklin, the least religious guy in the room, history tells us, this is what he says. He says, we need to seek God, His guidance, His direction. And he makes mention there that we know that no nation can prosper without God's hand. Amen to Ben Franklin, right? Amen to Ben Franklin. America is a nation that has been conceived in prayer. Isn't that wonderful? We were conceived in prayer. And we see then the exquisite results of God's divine blessing upon America because of it. Maybe if that moment wouldn't have happened, our nation wouldn't have prospered as it has. maybe we would have went down a different path. But the least religious in the room said, let's seek God in prayer. And God bless this nation. Now that brings me to my first point, which are the three duties of Christian citizenship. And that is that we need to pray as a good Christian citizen. We need to be in prayer for its politics and its politicians. We need to be in prayer for America's politics and its politicians. For America to continue, for it to be blessed, we must be sustained by the power of prayer. We were birthed by prayer, and I think we will continue only by the power of prayer, seeking God and His direction and blessing upon America. What we need in America, I said a little earlier, is we need revival. We need a spiritual awakening in America. And the only way we get to that place is the same way that they birthed the Constitution. We have to, as a church, come back to seeking God through prayer. Seeking God's blessing. Seeking God's revival upon our land. You know, there were, I think, three, maybe you could say four revivals that have happened within America's history. Through all these great awakenings. The first great awakening was back in the 1700s, and it happened in America. Kind of pastors George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards were some of the names that were a part of that. The second great awakening happened there in the early to mid 1800s, and that was the temperance movement, the abolition movement, the women's right movement. The third great awakening is kind of in the early 1900s in America. Dwight L. Moody, William Booth, out comes the birth of the Salvation Army. Some of those ministries you're a little bit more familiar with than Jonathan Edwards, maybe, which was the first. Although if you read some Jonathan Edwards sermons, you'd be quite impressed. But this was Dwight L. Moody, William Booth, Charles Spurgeon. Maybe you've heard of Spurgeon. He was out of England. But then there was a three kind of big great awakenings in America. These are spiritual awakenings, spiritual revivals. I guess the latest one maybe you could say was in the 60s. Maybe some of you lived through that, the Jesus Revolution, some people called it. Kind of happened during the 60s and the peace movement and all that, and outbirthed this Jesus revival. And so that could probably be considered the last. But you know, think about it. It's been, what, 50 years since the last revival has taken place? Really no spiritual awakening, no great awakening, no great... And even in the 60s, you can say it was quite diminished compared to those three earlier ones. At times they were called the Great Awakening because all of society was moved to get on their knees and repent and seek God's blessing, and seek His wisdom, seek His renewal in their life. You know what we need, though? Whether it's three or four, we need another Great Awakening in America. We really do. We would call it the Fifth Great Awakening. I'm afraid, friends, if it doesn't come soon, it might be too late. Don't you get the same feeling as well? There isn't another great awakening within America. Soon, we might just drift off into oblivion. A nation might unravel and be destroyed. We must seek revival. And where does revival start? Well, it doesn't start in the White House. Many of you might have in your mind, if we could just get the White House, that will change America. It won't happen there. Revival doesn't even start in the State House. I think maybe if we could just get the state, we could just get the political leaders we need there, that finally revival would come about. I would even say it doesn't even happen in the crack house. Where does revival start? It starts in the church house. It starts within us, within the hearts of the believers. And we have to be praying and seeking spiritual revival, that God's Spirit would again be poured out upon this land. As God's Spirit, as God's wisdom divided in the writing of the Constitution and the founding of this America, so we need to continue to seek His presence now, His guidance, His direction, His blessing upon this great nation. If America is to recover from her great moral sickness today and her godless ways, then the church must get on her knees and begin again to seek God's Spirit to be poured out upon this great land. Amen?
Amen.
We need to pray for America's politics and America's politicians. You know, and I'm guilty of this too, we're good at complaining about our politicians. But when's the last time you offered a prayer for them? When have you lifted up that politician in name? Well, I can't remember when I have either. We're good at complaining about our politics. But we need to get good about praying for our politicians and for our politics. Praying, seeking God. Okay, pray for our politics, pray for our politicians. Number two, we need to, as a good citizen of America, we need to preach to its populace. We need to be preaching to the people. The church must again find its voice. For too long in America, the church has sat by quietly while they removed prayer from schools. We stayed silent while Roe versus Wade became the law of the land. We stayed silent while the right to abortion became rule of the land. We said nothing when they passed the Equality of Marriage Act and allowed men to marry men and women to marry women. We need to find our voice again, don't we, as a church? And start preaching again and proclaiming the truths of God to the people around us. I think for 50 years, Roe versus Wade was the law of the land. And much of the church sat silent. 50 years. Praise God. Here just recently, last year I think, or a year before, maybe it was this last year, that it was overturned. Thank God for that. 50 years. 63 million babies aborted in America. 63 million. And the church sat back quietly as this went about. Over and over and over again, the church has been silent when we should be vocal. Look at verse 5 here. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. I like that word conscience, because I think we are to be the conscience of America. We're to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus and calling the wrong out when it's wrong, and not sitting by idly and allowing it to just happen without any call or concern from the church. To be a good citizen, Christian citizen of America, we need to call out the wrong when we see it and praise the good when we see it as well. We need to be loyal to God's Word and proclaim and preach the truth. We need to preach what we practice and practice what we preach. Do you know that less than 10% of Christians today can say that they shared the gospel with one person in the last year? Less than 10% of Christians today can say that they shared the gospel with someone in the last year. Let me ask you, are you in that 10%? Or are you in that 90%? We need to be sharing the good news with those around us. It's time for the church to get back to telling people about Jesus. They need to hear it. And how will they hear if we are unwilling to tell them? Don't allow yourself to be in that 90%. Tell someone about Jesus. Even if you think they know it or have heard it, maybe they need to be reminded. Thank God for people in my life that reminded me when I wasn't walking with Jesus that I needed to, that He was important, that I needed to make Him important, that I needed salvation. Thank God for those people in my life that were willing to tell me about Jesus. And we need to do the same. To be good citizens, we need to be preaching to the population the good news of Jesus. Okay, we pray for our politicians, our politics, we preach to its populace. And number three, to be a good Christian citizen, we need to participate in its progress. We need to participate in its progress. We must never leave the work of America to the non-believing, to the agnostic, to the idol worshiper. And notice here it says one of the most basic ways we can support government is through, and it points this out, probably one of the most least desirable things, pay taxes. That's what it says there, verse 6. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. He points out one of the least popular things that we can be doing to support the government. I guess maybe one of the most basic things that we can do to support our government. Just to pay your taxes. Just pay what you owe them. Give, it says here, render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom is taxes due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom is fear, honor to whom is honor. Give what is most basic. I say don't stop at the basics. I think we need to participate. We need to be involved. Hopefully, right now downstairs learning the Bible is tomorrow's future leaders. Praise God. That's what we should be praying for. There might be a future congressperson sitting downstairs. Teachers, educators, doctors, lawyers, maybe another preacher. Downstairs is our future, and we need to be praying that one day they will grow up and participate in the progress, as we should be participating in the progress. I think it's important for every believer to, when it comes time to get to the ballot box and vote, to go vote. Amen. There's where you participate. You participate. God gives you an opportunity to participate in the progress of America. And you should go. You should have your voice heard. And we should be involved. I hope some people from here will run for school board or take up positions within the government. Lead. You know, it's not a very popular thing to do today. You make yourself a huge target when you serve in some of these positions. But friends, if the church isn't willing to stand up and serve in some of these areas, guess who will? Guess who does? Guess who is more than willing to take that position of leadership and authority? They will. Agnostics, non-believers, idolaters. We need to participate. We need to pray that God will raise up people within the midst of the church, the body of Christ, that are willing to take a stand and to participate for the progress of America. That's what it means. Three just simple things, I think, that we, the church, can be doing to be a good citizen, a Christian citizen in America. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for these three simple ways that, Lord, we can live up to that responsibility, that definition, Lord, of what it means to be a Christian citizen here in America. Lord, we want to be good citizens. We want the government to be able to look at the church and say, wow, they truly are amazing. And what they have, we need. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Give us the courage and the strength to step forward in these three areas in our Christian life and to represent our faith well here in America. Lord, we praise You for Your blessed hand upon us. Lord, we see, even as we read there of Ben Franklin, Lord, there have been numerous hundreds, thousands of individuals that have looked to their faith to lead and guide and direct America. Please, Lord, I pray that you will continue to raise up within your church, even today, people that are willing to step forth and to lead and guide and seek your direction as they do so. Lord, bless us, I pray, as your nation. Bless us, I pray, over this 4th of July weekend. Maybe even on 4th of July, Lord, we'll just say a little prayer again for this nation, for its leaders, Lord, and its future leaders. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to look now at our last hymn, which is Faith of Our Fathers, page 279. And why don't we just stand together and sing? Page 279. Bow our heads for our benediction. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, again, just thank you for our blessings. Lord, as we go forth, Lord, we know that we are blessed. Help us, Lord, to be the sort of people that you desire for us to be, living out our lives here in America. Lord, we look forward to that true citizenship, Lord, that's in your kingdom, that kingdom which is now, but yet the kingdom which is to come. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Father, bless us, I pray, as your people. Keep us safe till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.